This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning at TSN1290.ca and via the iHeartRadio app, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We got 3 hours of hockey talk? Maybe?
Question mark.
Question mark? We got some hockey talk. There's still some hockey to talk about, the week that was. Mm-hmm. We're sort of through the looking glass here as we get into the heart of the COVID pandemic, if you will. But we're going to be with you. We're together, you and us.
Well, we're practicing social distancing.
Well, we've been practicing social distancing for a lot of years because none of us really like each other. So that goes a long way.
As he was tweeting at me yesterday, and he was not respecting my requirements for social distancing.
Right. You were
social media distancing.
Social media distancing in that instance. That voice that you hear, that's Dave Minuk, the man on my right, Ezra Ginsberg, looking as healthy and handsome as ever.
So this is basically no longer a hockey show, and it's just a COVID-19 hockey support network.
Oh, it could be a hockey support network. I like that. We're all in this together. So, if you have any thoughts, if you have anything you want to share, open.
Is that what the show is going to be for 3 hours?
No, it's not going to be that for 3 hours. We have a very detailed show plan that you guys received last night.
That's true.
But we do want to hear from you at Illegal Curve. That's how you can reach us on Twitter. You can also do so via text message. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. We want to, we tweeted this out yesterday. We want to hear from you. People are a little bit apprehensive right now. Justifiably so.
A little bit?
Well, there's no toilet paper in the entire world.
maybe more than just a little bit.
I can confirm there is no toilet paper. I haven't gone to every single grocery store in Winnipeg.
So
but
you
I
cannot
went to,
confirm that.
I went to
fact.
Sobeys and I went to Rexall.
Small sample size you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure your extrapolation skills are completely accurate here.
I needed to see it for myself. Like, what is wrong with people? Like, leave some TP for everybody else.
Okay, fair enough.
What about the guy in Ontario or the couple in Ontario? Was it Ontario?
Yeah, it was Ontario.
That was selling hand sanitizer? Like, come on, get a life.
I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit, however shameful it might be, is alive and well in some people. I would not recommend you venture down that road.
But in all seriousness, though, Drew, these are very uncertain times, right? Like, we've never gone through this before in modern day history. I mean, unless you go back to the early 20th century, right? But when you're talking about what's going on now, things have changed so much in the last 2-3 days, right? Like, I don't think any of us will ever forget Wednesday night, right? The Jets and Oilers are playing during the first intermission. So that's around 9 o'clock central. We find out the NBA is shutting down. Then all of a sudden it became very real that the NHL might shut down the next day. And lo and behold, it happened.
It did. You're absolutely right, Ezzy. It was an utterly bizarre Wednesday evening because you're watching that game, which is, at the start of the game, it's ostensibly an incredibly important game in the standings.
Huge.
And by the first intermission, the game was almost taking place in this netherworld where it mattered on the ice and it mattered in the standings. But by the next afternoon, it didn't really matter at all. I mean, by the start of the second period, it didn't really matter at all. It was a very bizarre Wednesday evening. You're absolutely right. People will remember that Wednesday evening and how it all unfolded in the span of really 30 minutes. When the NBA announced that the Utah Jazz and who are the Jazz playing? They're playing Denver, right? Is that where they were?
I'm not sure.
I don't even remember where. All I remember is the clip of Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz basketball player, being a little stupid.
Oh, when he was touching all the phones.
Touching all the phones.
Media, microphones.
2 days earlier, he's touching all the phones. He's touching all the microphones. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Well, joke's on you, Rudy, as it turns out.
He wasn't even in the building for the...
No, he wasn't in the building for the game because he had been sent home. He'd already been isolated.
I just checked it. It was OKC.
Sorry, Oklahoma City.
Rudy Gobert was the player, right?
That's right. And then, of course, Donovan Mitchell, also on the Utah Jazz, is also tested positive.
All the Raptors tested negative.
That's true. That came out yesterday. It was actually a funny tweet. There was fireworks last night. I don't know why there were fireworks last night.
I saw you ask what
it was
about.
It was about 9:30. I'm lying in bed and we're watching TV and all of a sudden there's fireworks. The dog's going crazy a little bit because dogs and fireworks. Yeah. And I'm like, why is there fireworks? First of all, it's a random Friday night in March. everything is basically shut down.
Maybe people are trying to celebrate something.
Yeah. Anyway, so I tweeted out, you know, yeah. why are there fireworks? And somebody on Twitter responded and said, well, because the Toronto Raptors all just tested negative for COVID. So there's fireworks going off. Okay. So I thought, you know, in a little bit of dark humor, a little bit of gallows humor there. But nonetheless, I thought it was a pretty entertaining tweet that came. You know, I still don't know why there were fireworks, mind you.
Okay, so you haven't actually isolated why there were fireworks.
No, nobody knows.
But people randomly shoot off fireworks. That's not that.
They were like 20 minutes long, Dave.
Okay.
It was lengthy
fireworks. Well, I didn't know the duration of time here, Drew.
This was a lengthy bout of fireworks that didn't. So this wasn't somebody just shooting off some fireworks from their own personal stash. This was like a planned fireworks display for some reason.
Okay.
If anyone knows the reason why, send me a tweet. Add a legal.
Maybe
curve.
That's all they could buy at the grocery store because there's no toilet paper.
There you go. I knew there was a reason. Congratulations on your fireworks. It was well done. Way to support the economy there. That's a job well done. That voice, of course, is Sean Asor, producer of this fine radio show.
Well, seriously, people have to stop buying up all the toilet paper. Like, if you're doing that, stop. Buy enough for the next week or two, but like...
I was at Safeway yesterday. And
is it just me or is this completely ridiculous?
Well, that aspect is insane. It's not like you're not being locked in your home. You could go out and buy toilet paper if there was, because you didn't buy it all in advance. So it actually makes no sense because you're still at the grocery store. You're still buying groceries. It's not like that's the craziest part about this whole situation. It's not as if all the groceries are gone. It's just the toilet paper.
Like, is there somebody with a warehouse in Winnipeg that has just full of toilet paper?
There are. Yeah. I mean, again, to that idea of the couple in Toronto, and we, Ezzy and I were talking about it off air with Sean. There's a guy in New York who bought like 17,000.
It's in the New York Times today.
Yeah, 17,000
bottles of hand sanitizer.
Bottles of hand sanitizer. So,
and he's stuck. He can't sell them now.
Well, like, oh yeah, my heart bleeds for him. But the fact is,
where is that guy keeping that hand sanitizer?
In his garage.
In his garage.
Yeah.
He's got a sizable
garage.
Probably
somewhere in Long Island.
Five-car garage.
But, I mean, it's just unfortunate. It's like it's like what you saw.
It's the mob mentality.
No, but it's also what you saw when...
By the way, I'm not sharing those wine gums with you today. You're sticking your full hand right in those wine gums. Those are your wine gums
today.
That
works for me.
No, but you know what? It's like the... What's it called? When you have like the Uber, when they have the...
Surge pricing
and stuff like that. So it's like you're taking advantage of a situation. Just... You know, like I said, if people, and now it's smart because I saw, I think it was like Red River Co-op or something like that said you, for certain items, you're limited to two.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a smart way of doing things. If people are going to be stupid, then you have to be smart for them.
It's true. I mean, it is a little bit ridiculous. And as I was saying, I was at the Safeway yesterday and there was, of course, nothing on the shelves in terms of toilet paper. And I was talking to one of the employees and we were sort of laughing about it. And he said, yeah, we're going to be out of toilet paper till Sunday because people are absolutely going hog wild and losing their minds. So, you know, try and share your toilet paper with your neighbor. Be a good neighbor. If somebody comes knocking on your door, you know, used to be they might ask for a cup of flour. Now, you know, maybe share a roll of TP if you can spare a square, as Elaine Bennis once said.
This is the Illegal Curve TP show, and
well, like I said, we're through the looking glass. But what I wanted to say before is we want to share some good news stories.
Yep.
So tweet at us at Illegal Curve, text us 1290-90, give us a story, a great accomplishment, a positive impact that's happening in the community. Initially, I wanted to be sports related, but I don't really care. We're open-minded here. If you know of a person, a team, an athlete, you know, a hockey player, a ringette player, a ballet, gymnastics, art, anything under the sun, somebody that's doing good things in the community, somebody that's had a great accomplishment, we want to share those stories. Maybe try and give some people some uplifting news. So let us know. Send us a tweet, at Illegal Curve. Text us 1290-90. If you prefer email, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. We'll try and share some of those stories today. We'll share them next week. We'll share them for really however long this lasts before we have hockey again to talk about.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You guys know I work at Hockey Manitoba, and the tough decision had to be made Thursday night, right?
And it's the only decision that could have been made.
And Hockey Canada decided to cancel the 2019-20 season, so obviously all other province, including Manitoba, has to cancel all activities. And thankfully, certain provincials finished, and the Manitoba Women's Junior Hockey League, they were able to award their championship because they decided to move it from a best of five to a best of three. But, I mean, Thursday night was a really tough night for not just people that play hockey here. I mean, it was a tough night for everybody, right? Like people that play all sports, because with the exception of the UFC, basically all sports are shut down, right? But it's just been such a tough 48 hours for everybody, because life as we knew it prior to Thursday has really changed, right? And eventually things will go back to normal, but for now there aren't a lot of sports. So thankfully, you know, there have been some good moments here that have happened, but for the foreseeable future, there aren't going to be any sports until we obviously find out more about the spread of this virus and things go back to normal.
I'll tell you what, there's not going to be a lot of sports. There's not going to be any sports. 10 months from now, 40 weeks from now, there's going to be a hell of a lot of babies. Yeah, I'm looking at you there, Mr. Ginsburg, with your prolific nature there, but there's going to be a lot of babies.
No, we're done. We're done.
You don't think Ezzy wants three babies under three?
No. Well, at this point in time, you know, you're in for a dime, you're in for a dollar. What do you have to lose at this point?
Dr. J. Buenafe,
if you're listening. That's what it is.
But there's going to be a lot of babies, and I tweeted this, you know, and it's a little bit of dark humor, but you know that there's going to be some people who name their baby COVID.
No.
Yes, there will be. There's people who name their baby Espen, for God's sakes, after ESPN.
It's a little different. I mean, it's still stupid, but it's a little
different.
There's
going to be, you're never going to go wrong. There's going to be somebody stupid enough to name their baby. Put it on the board. Do we have a board?
No.
Well, get a board.
We had a board. Okay. Take it away.
Get a board. Put it on it that 10 months from now.
We had a board. Sanitize that board.
We had a board, but they took it away for stupid ideas like this.
But I was going to say, you guarantee it. It's a Drew Mindell guarantee that 40 weeks from now, hopefully not in Winnipeg, there's going to be a kid somewhere named COVID that is being born.
What happens if there's already a kid named COVID?
That's a bad name.
It's well, no, but at the time it wasn't. At the time it was a fine name.
No. No. Even before this, COVID was never a child's name.
What about your other kid, Seven?
Well, Seven would be a better name than COVID right now. In any event, we are obviously through in a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of uncertain waters, but we're going to bring you as best we can hockey news, hockey stories. We got some interesting things lined up for today and for the next couple weeks. We'll talk a little bit about COVID because, well, it's the elephant in the room. You can't not talk about it. But hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun as well. Maybe take your mind off of things as we go forward here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. Everybody agrees that the right decision was made by the NHL, but it's just unfortunate because, you know, the Jets defeat the Oilers, four wins in a row, and they're going into Calgary, and you're thinking, okay, I mean, the Jets could go on a 5-6-7 game run here, so it's unfortunate.
Ironically, fully healthy for basically the first time all year.
Right, and if you think about it, you know, obviously, nobody wants this to happen, but in a year that there have been so many different types of injuries, really, this is not as big of a surprise as maybe it has been with, you know, the injuries of guys playing soccer before the game, guys playing football before the game, Brian Little taking the puck in the face. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien not playing the entire year. It's really incredible what has happened for teams like the Jets, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Calgary Flames have also had some injuries as well, other teams, but well, you know, just unfortunate because the Jets were playing such good hockey and we have no idea. I mean, the season could be officially over. We don't know right now. I mean, there might not be a Stanley Cup. I think people have to start, you know, really letting that sink in.
Well I prefer no Stanley Cup to hockey in July because I think that's insane.
Well,
imagine how bad the ice quality is going to be in some of the arenas? July?
It won't be great.
It will just be atrocious. Like, I mean, it's just, and it's at that point, you just have to condense. And I've seen, I mean, we'll talk about it. But I like the idea of, depending obviously on how things play out, and there's no way of predicting what that's going to look like. But, you know, there's been a lot of good, Kevin McGran in the Toronto Star had a really good article I put in the morning papers today on illegalcurve.com. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
And,
company man.
Yeah. But no, I it's just talking about different scenarios, whether and those were scenarios about how teams would get into the playoffs, whether it'd be a play-in for the teams that are on the cusp rather than cut them out, or the idea of shortening rounds, kind of old school, the way they used to do it in the early
'80s,
best of threes, best of fives. That
idea. Hold that thought. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going to happen with the remainder of the regular season, what we think should happen, if anything. That's the, you know, again, the caveat to all these conversations is we don't know, but let's speculate about it on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the O'Legal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the O'Legal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of O'Legal Curve Hockey and home of the O'Legal Curve Sandwich. Bernstein's is proudly family-owned and operated and has been serving quality home-style food since 1985 for a hot, fresh breakfast starting at 6:30 a.m. weekdays and all day long. And all weekend long, visit Bernstein's at 1700 Cordon Avenue. That's in the Cordon Village Mall. Quick note, local business, more than ever, needs our support. You know, if you're not comfortable going out to a restaurant, that restaurant probably does takeout. The restaurant might do some prepared foods like our friends at Bernstein's do. Or they have frozen soups, great to put in the freezer in the case of a pandemic, which I believe was their rejected advertising campaign last year. Whatever it might be, support local business as much as possible right now because they're going to need some help. Everyone's going to be hurt in just a little bit. So give them, you know, do what you can to support local business in the face of this emergency. Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Welcome back to the O'Legal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290.
You may have to rethink that title.
What
title? The O'Legal Curve Hockey Show?
Well, no, we're still the O'Legal Curve Hockey. What are we going to become?
I don't know. You might just call us the O'Legal Curve.
For now, we'll still be a hockey show. How about that?
Okay.
We can. I've been pushing to name the show the Drew Mindell Experience for the last number of years.
No. I came up with that name.
Okay.
Let's call a spade a spade. I said it was going to be called the Drew Mindell Experience.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ezzy and I would refuse to be on that because we'd never be under your banner.
We have suggestions of some bad child names coming in. Somebody is suggesting, what about Soda?
Soda's a good name.
It's bubbly. It's refreshing. It's a name that goes both ways.
Soda Mindell?
Soda Mindell, yeah. thank you for Leon for coming in.
Isn't that Leon?
I don't know. It might be. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to
the commercial for Leon's. You know, the commercial where she jokes and she says, "I got that from Leon's." No. You've never seen that? Yeah, please, Dave.
I know what you're talking about. They're saying it's trying to pretend like it's fancier than it is.
Somebody else.
Have you never seen that commercial?
I might have seen it. I just like
you've been under self quarantine for the last 4 years.
somebody else saying that's somebody else is saying that their sister-in-law is legally named 14. Which is an interesting name.
Awesome.
I wonder what the story behind
14's
that is.
14's a great number.
It's not a
Theo Fleury wore it. Anthony Peluso. Shanny.
I'm glad that Sean.
Great number.
Yeah, I'm glad that Sean.
Valentine's Day is on the 14th.
That's true. It's just not a typical name that you would have heard of. Anyways.
Today's the 14th.
There you go.
Ezra's not typical either.
I wonder if today is her birthday.
I know a lot more. That would be funny.
You don't know any other Ezras. Maybe one.
What do you mean? I know of a couple Ezras.
There's certainly Ezras in the public realm.
It's a unique name.
Isn't there a band called Better Than Ezra?
There is a band called that's Better Than Ezra. No, Ezra might be it's a little bit of a, you know, a biblical name or a historically Hebrew or Jewish name.
It's a unique name.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of Ezras you've heard of. It's not like,
a common name.
I've never met another 14.
Well, that's true.
I'm just saying, my name is also unique.
Your name?
Like a David or Sean or Drew.
Whoa, easy.
Alrighty, let's talk about the rest of the NHL regular season. So obviously we sit here.
Drew's mic on quarantine.
We're sitting here on March the 14th, and the Jets were supposed to be in Calgary tonight to face the Flames in a key wild card / Western Conference / Central Division showdown, because somehow the Jets were only 2 points behind the Dallas Stars when the season ended.
What happens when you lose 6 games in a row?
Yeah, when the suspension of the season happened after Wednesday night. So what do you think they should do with the regular season? Let's assume that they come back
in like a month.
In a month. The NBA is saying 30 days.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Well, MLS said the same thing. Yeah. NHL generally will follow the NBA's
lead.
Yeah. So I would suspect that they'll do what the NBA does.
So let's say April 50th.
Okay.
The season's going to restart.
Yeah.
Where do they restart? Do they restart in the regular season? Do they restart right into the playoffs? Do they play X number more of regular season games? How do you think that they should handle the remainder of at least the regular season portion of the schedule?
Well, first of all, you're talking about best case scenario.
Yeah, of course.
Right? That's the best case scenario, that we have hockey back in mid-April. That would be amazing, right? Especially for us here at the station. But, I mean, you continue with the regular season, do you not? Like, I heard Elliot Friedman throw out a date, which is a great date because it's my birthday. He says that the drop dead date could be July 24th.
to end.
And that's because when the Summer Olympics start, you don't want the Stanley Cup playoffs to be going on past then. But whether it's July 24th, that's what Elliot Friedman threw out.
Okay.
I'm just saying
that. No.
So
that would be to end the entire season.
Right. Okay. So the playoffs, that date has not been talked about from the NHL's point of view, but that was, talked about amongst owners or GMs. But the point is, I don't think anybody thinks the Stanley Cup's going to be awarded in early August or mid-August. But actually, if you think about it, it could happen based on this unprecedented scenario, right? So I think, Drew, going back to your question, I think you could probably still finish the regular season if hockey resumes in mid-April, late April, maybe early May. But if hockey's not coming back till mid-May or late May, then you might have to shorten the regular season and then maybe start the playoffs a little bit earlier, or maybe you have some type of different playoff format. But I think if you're able to start hockey back up in a month, I think that gives you enough time, because if you think about it, the Stanley Cup playoffs are around 8 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. 8 or 9 weeks. So if you just push everything back.
Closer to 10 weeks.
Right. Yeah. So 10 weeks, but you could obviously have back-to-back games and stuff like that. We talked about last segment, but if the season was to restart mid-April, then basically the Stanley Cup's going to be awarded sometime in early, mid-July.
My thought would be, again, using this, what we're calling now the best case scenario, this idea of 1 month in, of 1 month of hiatus, sorry. To me, you just lop off a certain number of games in the regular season. I say you play like a 75-game regular season. So because that way, you don't want teams starting right in the playoffs, having not played, even if they do a mini training camp.
Yeah.
So you give the teams, let's say they come back mid-April. You have like a three-day training camp, essentially, where everybody's back. And I mean, the reality is, and we know the NHL's already put out a memo that to the players, essentially, that in probably about a week, they can probably start to get back and do informal skates like they do just before training camp begins. And so my guess would be that what you'll see is the guys practicing, but again, it's informal. You give them 3 days to kind of get back into that training camp mode. Then you go and play because again, right now the problem is you have teams that have played 71 games. Mm-hmm. Some teams have played 69. So from a Jets perspective, even though they're the first wild card team, if, for example, you go based on the games played.
If you go on points percentage.
Right. So the Jets are actually going to be behind the Minnesota Wild by 0.01%.
Yeah. One thousandth of a percentage.
It's crazy.
Point?
So the reality is, I would still think you'd want to have every team play the same number of games to, let's say 75.
Sure.
So that way, teams like St. Louis have 4 games to play. A team like Dallas would have 6 games to play, but everyone would play the same number of games. You'll lop off 7 games, which to my mind would probably be what?
Two or three weeks
of hockey, yeah, essentially. So you're almost buying yourself this amount of time that you're losing. So, or maybe let's say 74 games. You know what I mean? Like some number
where it
gives teams enough games to play to kind of give a bit of a warm up where games actually matter. And then you go right into a play. Again, this is obviously we're using this quote best case scenario. Then you'd go into a playoff. And Lisa Dillman was talking about it. She writes for The Athletic in LA. And I like that idea. Again, you go to that old school. You cut down the first round. You don't need as best of 7. You do a best of 5. And maybe you do 2 best of 5 series, the first round and the second round, best of 5. And then you go to a best 7 for the conference finals and a best of 7 for the Stanley Cup finals.
I think it's where it's going to get really interesting is if hockey doesn't come back until mid to late May, right? And it's possible, like we talked about last segment.
We have no idea.
The NHL could be done permanently for the 2019-20 season. Well, that is a distinct possibility, right, Drew? So where I think it gets really...
So what's that date? What's that date in your mind? I know you don't know the answer.
What's
that date where if you're not back playing hockey, you might as well pull what they did with March Madness and the XFL and just sort of say the season is over?
Well, you'd have to think that's early June, right? Like, I don't think you can restart the season in early to mid-June.
I don't know if you can restart it in mid-May. In early to mid-May, I don't know if you can restart it at that point.
Well, like Dave said, though, if you restart in May, I think then you take off, 3, 4, 5 regular season games. Like, the number Dave used is 75. Mm-hmm. So the Jets have played, I believe, 71, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the Jets have 4 more games left, or some teams have 6 games left or 7 mm-hmm. games left, right? But I think that's going to be more interesting. And like we talked about, best case scenario is the NHL, the NBA, we're back in a month. But that is best case scenario, like I just said. So if we're talking about, mid-May, late May, maybe that is too late, but it seems like there are and Gary Bettman talked about this on his conference call, right? Like Gary Bettman said that, you know, he's in constant contact with Donald Fear. I think he even said, I wake up and I go to bed saying goodnight to Donald Fear,
well,
which is a little disturbing. But when you're talking about, you know, the owners and the GMs, I mean, all of these people are in contact, right?
You don't do that. That's not the last thing you think about before you go to bed. And the first thing
I say,
you
good morning
about.
And goodnight to my wife, Drew,
that's,
of course.
That's
but
better.
I mean, when you're talking about, you know, the drop dead scenarios and all that, I mentioned Elliot Friedman's July 24th date, but I mean, that's just kind of an arbitrary number. I mean, even though this is, you know, extraordinary circumstances, guys, can you actually award the Stanley Cup in late August? Like next season, the 2021 season is going to start in early October. So does
they'll
that
be starting training camp when the Stanley Cup is awarded?
But like imagine playing a full four rounds of the playoffs and then your regular season starts 5 weeks later.
Well, that to me is the issue. As is not only are you already talking about an impacted 2019-20 season, but then you're screwing up the 2020-21 season. So for me, again, everything changes. I'm going like that 75 games and and shorter first two rounds based on, you know, a mid-April. If you're talking about, you know, May start time, then maybe you do enough games that everybody plays 72 games, which memo to the NHL is probably a good thing anyways.
this opportunity to change your schedule going forward.
But and someone made a very good point. It might have been Kevin McGrath in that article in the Toronto Star talking about that idea of, here's an opportunity for the NHL to test some things out.
It's in the show plan for later on today to talk about, is this an opportunity for the NHL to rethink their model of their season?
And he wrote about the fact that there's 32 teams going to be in the NHL.
Yeah.
Right now, obviously, only 16 make it into the playoffs. Here's an opportunity, especially with how tight things are with the Jets and the Wild, and I think it's the Islanders and
the Hurricanes,
and Columbus. Yeah, and Rangers, they're all really tight in the East. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing is here's an opportunity for either like a play-in game for teams that are right on the cusp, especially given everything that's happened. It's kind of would be almost unfair for teams to be like, okay, arbitrarily we're deciding this is the cutoff. So here's an opportunity for our, you know, three, four more teams to have a chance.
Just wanted to say, Gary Bettman did say that it's a priority for the NHL to award the Stanley Cup, but obviously that's within reason, right? Like if the NHL season isn't able to start by mid-May, late May, early June, it might be impossible to award the Stanley Cup.
I think the moment that it begins to affect or impact the schedule for next year is when the NHL has to pull the plug.
Yep.
And time will tell. And of course, we'll talk more about a potential playoff format coming up later on in the show, how that can be impacted by this. I mean, like I said, we want to hear from you. Maybe you have the revolutionary idea that the NHL hasn't thought of. At Illegal Curve via Twitter. Send your text messages to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. You can also email us, drew@illegalcurve.com. Shout out to the people who are continuing to send in unusual names, different names. Somebody says that there's somebody in their workplace named Twinkle.
Really?
Yeah. I hope that person is
the last name Little Star?
They actually have a brother, Little and Star.
So anyways, you never know what you're going to see. And also people that know our show really well are sending us Seinfeld quotes at the same time.
Of course.
So thank you to those people as well. When we come back, Murat Atesh from The Athletic is going to join us, talk more about how this impacts the NHL, how it impacts the hockey season, the impact on the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is The Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, bottom of hour number one. My Sharona rhymes with my Corona, but hopefully.
Ooh, too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon.
I don't know. You know, that the song's been in my head for the last couple of days because it rhymes.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome back to the program. You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Trying to bring a little joy, little love to your life as we're in the midst of a pandemic. Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Our website, of course, is still being updated. That's illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From theathletic.com here in Winnipeg, you know his great work covering the Winnipeg Jets. We're pleased to be joined by Murat Atesh. Murat, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. I mean, we could all stand to have some more hockey in our lives, but other than that, things are good.
How are the toilet paper reserves? That's clearly the number one issue.
Try not to panic about that. I seem to be well stocked, and I've seen some grocery stores of late that seem to imply some panic. Hope everybody's doing okay.
Yes, it certainly is. And we recommend people not to panic because that doesn't help anybody in this instance. Murat, obviously, we brought you on to talk about the Jets and, you know, obviously the pandemic and the suspension of the season. And last segment, we were talking to the guys about, you know, the potential for the NHL to restart. Let's hypothetically say in a month. What do you think the remainder of the regular season should look like?
You know what, gosh, this is a tough question at this stage of the game. I don't think we know exactly how long things will be suspended for or postponed for, what the overall circumstances will be health-wise. In terms of deciding, say, if we were able to have playoffs, I know that right now the points percentage situation would put the Winnipeg Jets just 0.00 whatever percent out, just on the outside of the playoffs looking in, despite owning a wild card spot in the standings. For me, if there were time to start up a playoffs, and the NHL has talked about, you know, bringing players to, not bringing players, but allowing players to have sort of a mini camp period to get back up to speed, I imagine there should be time enough to get each team up to the same number of games played as well, or create some sort of play-in system as well to sort of make things fair in terms of teams making the playoffs. I'm happy to watch hockey well into July if that's what happens and everything's cleared up and playoffs are going and Stanley Cups are being awarded and all of that. For sure I am. And then, of course, I guess we'll see. I don't know what the answer is.
No, Murat, you had a really good article in theathletic.com yesterday about COVID-19. You talked to Dr. Jason Kindrichuk, who is a virus expert at the University of Manitoba. And in the article, you talk about how he thinks, you know, hockey coming back in 3 or 4 weeks is just not realistic. After talking to him and writing this article, and I recommend everybody reads this article and obviously reads all of your articles for The Athletic, but after talking to him, do you think that 4 weeks is unrealistic as well?
Well, yeah, because how could I not follow the expert sort of guidelines on this? So Dr. Kindrichuk is somebody who in Manitoba, we're lucky to have that biosafety level 4 lab. We have some of the best virologists in the world here. We have some real true expertise. And to talk to him, first and foremost, I guess he was conveying that in terms of flattening the curve, we're early in this process. We don't necessarily think that the peak has hit in North America yet, certainly in the States. And then in Canada, we're still figuring it out and cases are still increasing for sure. So that to sort of suggest that we would know 3 or 4 weeks from now, we'd be ready to go. I think he suggested that that would be unrealistic. And then to take a tip from him as well, I asked, you know, how about your travel, your conferences, your sorts of things as well? And he was suggesting that in his field, in his industry, they have been canceling them out through the end of June as well. So if that's the level of cautiousness that the virologists are and the infectious disease experts are taking, then I think that seems to be the best indicator that I could possibly have at this stage.
Well, Murat, right now, it's a lot of, you know, depression, a lot of dark times because of the fact that there's, you know, it's just the outlook right now doesn't look good in terms of sports, which is, you know, a reprieve for a lot of people. So sometimes we look for some fun stuff that, you know, folks have been able to do. And Kenny, your colleague Kenny Weeb, wrote an article recently about the why players wear the numbers they do. So I'm not going to ask you about that, but I'm going to ask you, what was your most fun article to write for this season of the Winnipeg Jets?
Oh, wow. Most fun, just silly and good times fun would have been the players poll where we took about 10 or 12 questions that were Winnipeg specific, from who's the biggest wimp on the team when it comes to the cold to who's the funniest, who uses too many emojis, all sorts of stuff like that, what the players were binging. And because, you know, I sort of prepared this form list of 10 or 12 questions, and, you know, I imagined myself like reading this one at a time to the players. I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but they jumped on it. They were beaking each other. They were chirping each other. If you haven't read it, I will give it up that apparently Nick Ehlers is the man that is most cold conscious, and they were definitely giving him a hard time for that. They were talking about Anthony Beteto as the best chirper, Jack Roslovic as the biggest wannabe chirper, and then apparently Patrick Laine is the best prankster on the team. So that was a fun one for sure.
There you go. You can check that out, of course, in Murat's work at theathletic.com. Murat Atesh is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Now, Murat, you were in Edmonton on Wednesday. You were I'm presuming you're back in Winnipeg, to be honest, but you were supposed to be on this road trip covering the Jets tonight in Calgary and then tomorrow in Vancouver. Take us back to Wednesday night, though. The game gets underway, and you know that it's already in a little bit of interesting circumstances, and then, you know, the news breaks sort of, you know, midway through that first period that the NBA is suspending operations. What was the vibe in the building? What was the vibe in the press box? What was the vibe post-game talking to the players?
Yeah, the first, you know, because Twitter is what it is and we're on top of it, as you know, we're tweeting about the game, I'd say the press box found out pretty early in the context of things. So midway through the first period, exactly like you say, and it was substantial enough that NBA shut down that there was a distinct hush, and we were all sort of whispering amongst ourselves in Edmonton. And it definitely, I would say, it became a distraction during that first period, because it really drove home kind of just how big it is and how important it is for, you know, leagues to step up and do their part in this, like the NBA and NHL and so many have done. And at that time, it became bigger than the game. I talked to a lot of colleagues who say they don't remember a lot of details from that first period for sure. It was definitely the talk throughout that first intermission, 100% it was. And then to come out into the second and see the hockey players, I mean, a bad giveaway by each goaltender, and you kind of wondered, like, do these guys know, and is that what has led to this? Is there a focus issue going on? And certainly sometimes some things are bigger than hockey. I remember Blake Wheeler scoring that kind of fluke goal, and I couldn't tell if he wasn't celebrating because of the context of the day or just because he got a lucky bounce off of it, because he's a serious professional in most circumstances anyway. But then to hear the players talk after the game, that was the interesting one. Each person seemed to have found out about it at a different time, but no matter who they were, it clearly affected them for the day. Wheeler said he found out just before the first period started. Leon Draisaitl told him, "Hey, did you hear about the NBA?" And he was like, "What?" And so that's when it sunk in for him. Kyle Connor had suggested that he found out possibly from a trainer, and there's a group of guys talking about it in the first intermission. And Paul Maurice said that he didn't quite know that they knew, but he did, and he would have said something if he knew that they knew. And it's just so interesting when these things happen so quickly. It's tough for everybody to have the same experience during that. And certainly it was a big distraction from the game. Daniel Nugent Bowman and I wrote a story afterwards, just kind of trying to put things in perspective and saying some things are bigger than hockey. And, you know, we're glad that everybody's okay. And I think the NHL has announced kind of daily nobody has had symptoms yet. And I think that in the aftermath of that night, that's the thing that I keep checking in on, and it continues to be good news.
And Murad, it's obviously important for us to talk about, you know, COVID-19 and the NHL postponing the season, but, you know, just sticking to the Jets on ice before we found out the news that the NHL was going to cancel the season, you know, 4 wins in a row, really impressive win over the Oilers, impressive wins over the Coyotes, and the Golden Knights game definitely sticks out to me, not to mention the win over the Sabres, but, you know, those 4 wins in a row, obviously Clyde the dog has been the Jets' good luck charm, but, you know, when you're talking about these 4 wins in a row, you know, outscoring the opposition 15-5, you know, getting back into that last wild card spot, at least for the time being at the time, right? I mean, does this Jets team not seem like they were clicking at the right time, you know, getting healthy, with the exception of a few players? Obviously, Brian Little is one of them. But did it just not seem like this Jets team was ready to go on a lengthy winning streak, even more than 4 games in a row?
Well, hey, I mean, that's the thing. They were sort of peaking and streaking at the exact right time. I appreciate the shout out to Clyde. Ever since Clyde the dog was adopted, the Jets have yet to lose. And I guess that's going to go on for a little while here. He's in his forever home and we're on a pause. The Jets themselves,
was that a pun? P-A-W-S?
I will take no. Yes. Yes, it was. I thought I could sneak that one by you guys.
we're sharper than you give us credit for. At least I am. Go ahead.
I was trying to make sense of the Jets streak myself. And, you know, a lot of things had gone right for them, and they played particularly well. The ability to have depth was a key thing. I tweeted a lot. I like Dylan DeMello's game quite a lot, and I like how he fits in with Josh Morrissey. And I like to think that an extended run of those two guys together could show us the dominant, you know, game taking over Josh Morrissey that we've seen before. And I think that that pairing has already been a solid pairing. And then Neil Pionk and Dmitry Kulikov have had largely, a good shutdown type pairing. You know, these guys aren't the Norris Trophy candidates at the end of the season by any stretch. They're not in quite that tier, but what they've been able to do since being solidified, I think, was an impressive thing. I don't love that that McDavid goal for any of Pionk Kulikov or Mike Scheifele, who was on the tail of Cassian on it. But all in all, the defense has been better in the last four games than any stretch in the season beforehand. So if you're a Jets fan out there thinking like, hey, we finally have all of the pieces in place and this team starting to win and feel like you've got the rug swept out from under you right now, I'd completely understand that.
Murat, you talked about end of season awards, and one player who I think was probably likely a Vezina either winner or finalist was obviously Connor Hellebuyck. How likely is it, do you think, that he would have gotten some serious heart recognition?
You know, that's such a tough question for me. I think that he would have appeared on some heart ballots every now and again, but I don't think, based on all of the talk that we've heard of, whether it's Dreisaitl or MacKinnon or McDavid or so many other players who've had massive seasons, I find that players in Connor Hellebuck's shoes, where it's kind of whether they're going to make the playoffs or not is on a thin line, it's tough for that to sort of capture the imagination of Hart Trophy voters in my mind, or at least that's kind of how I would sort of predict it. Vezina, it seems to me he's far and away one of the strongest candidates in terms of how many goals he's saved that he shouldn't. He's the league leader in that way, if you mm-hmm. trust your goal saved above expectation metrics. The interesting one, though, was Dom Luschishin put together a piece at The Athletic, and he was trying to convert and compare between forwards, defensemen, and goaltenders kind of what their WAR stats or wins above replacements would be for goaltenders versus Luschishin's own metrics. And he tried to compare everybody. He had Connor Hellebuyck on his podium, top three players in the Hart Trophy race based on the analytics that he looked at. And so there are compelling arguments to be made in his favor that the season he's had is that exceptional. I think it has been, and he would be on a short list for sure. I'm not sure, I don't think he would be on the podium for some Eastern-based writer who doesn't see him night in, night out, if I can kind of play the West-East game for the time being.
Murat Ateş covers the NHL and covers the Winnipeg Jets for theathletic.com. Murat, always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us. I'd like to say we'll see you soon. We don't really know for sure when we'll see you, but hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Thanks for the cloud love. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Murat. Murat Ateş, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, we'll talk about the playoff format. What do we think it's going to look like? Will the Stanley Cup have an asterisk next to it this year? Time will tell. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friend Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center. Dr. Rikus and his team provide modern and comprehensive dental care for the entire family. To make an appointment today, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Talking about the NHL, the world of hockey in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. We know that the regular season has been suspended. We don't yet know, of course, the future of the season, the future of the regular season, or the future of the playoffs. So let me start with this question to you, gentlemen. Can the NHL, let's say they come back in a month, best case scenario, is the option for a quote-unquote regular playoff format off the table in your mind?
I don't know. I probably not, right? Because we talked about it. If the season starts in mid-April, mm-hmm. you just push when the Stanley Cup would usually be awarded a month, right? So instead of it being early to mid-June, it's early to mid-July. And it sounds like early to mid-July is an option. Everything that's been talked about by Gary Bettman and the owners, it sounds like hockey in July is possible. Hockey in August doesn't seem as possible. Well, so yeah. I do think, Drew, best case scenario, and you know, talking to Murat last segment and listening to what, the infectious disease experts are saying, like, this thing isn't going away in weeks. It's going to be months. So I personally don't think we're going to be back playing hockey and sports in mid-April. I think it's probably going to be May, if or at the earliest. But when you're talking about, you know, mid-April, you can still have a regular playoff format, especially when you have, if you have back-to-back games. So to answer your question, yes, I do think you can have a regular playoff format if the best case scenario is the NHL, the NBA is back in mid-April. But
should
if,
they, Dave?
If you're restarting the season, Drew, in early May or mid-May, then it becomes more difficult.
Should they? I mean, at this point in time, if you're starting, if you're restarting some portion of the regular season in mid-April, is there any reason to do a full playoffs just like we're used to with seven-game series in every round, or is that just almost foolhardy?
Well, I mean,
besides money.
I was just going to say,
we know is the driving force behind a lot
dollar,
of these
dollar bills, y'all.
I don't think it's, sorry to cut you off, Dave, but I don't think it's all money, because that is how the Stanley Cup playoff format is structured.
Right, but the reality is
you're in unprecedented times.
But not only that, the Stanley Cup playoff format, it's not sacrosanct. The reality is it's changed over the years. As I illustrated, in the early 80s, you had first rounds that were best of fives.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think even best of three, maybe, I could be wrong. But the fact is, it was best of five before they moved to a best of seven. So in this situation, again, like they did with the lockout shortened season, you have to adjust. Now, that was different. They were adjusting the regular season there, not the playoffs. But just that idea of adjusting, because the truth is, and again, I don't care what anybody says, unless your team, as a fan or a player, is in the playoffs, nobody is caring about hockey in July. Nobody. Unless you are in the business of covering hockey. I'm sorry. I can tell you right now, there is, and we are in the business of covering hockey, and even I am very disinterested about July, hockey in July. And I just don't think that there will be any appetite. Again, aside from the obvious issues of the ice, which I think will be atrocious, especially down south when it's like 110 degrees.
Just to clarify, you're not talking about the Winnipeg ice. You're talking about the actual ice.
Yes,
and that's going to be an issue, especially
if it's Tampa Bay versus Vegas, which is an entirely possible Stanley Cup final matchup.
110 degrees.
Yeah.
So I mean, from a physical, you know, realistic standpoint, I just think hockey in July doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think what you do, and again, look, at the end of the day, the owners are going to lose money. They're going to lose money because they make a ton off the playoffs, obviously. Every team that makes the playoffs, those guys are making a ton. So there's a reason why they're not going to want to reduce it. But I just think from a practical standpoint, because you know what the truth is, unless you really want to impact next season, and again, we don't know what this is going to look like, right? So we have no idea. This could go all the way, and this could be a moot conversation simply because, you know, there may not be one because it eliminates, it's getting too close to affecting next year. So what I would think you have to do is you just have to be smart, and you have to say, look, if we're hitting it at this point, we switch it up and we just reduce our playoffs. And again, I don't think you destroy the integrity. I think as long as the Stanley Cup Finals are a best of seven, then I don't have a problem with it. If you, like I said to you earlier in the segment and earlier in the show, if you go best of five, best of seven, I think that's fine. Even best of three, best of five,
and
whatever.
And as you know, Dave, the main reason why you don't want to affect the 2020-2021 season is because think about all the complaints from the players, the NHLPA, about all the injuries because of the condensed schedule now. Mm-hmm. If you condense the schedule, guys, even more next year, I mean, think about all of the injuries, and just not just the injuries, but all of the problems because of the fact that there already is that mandatory player break, right? So that's why you don't want to push the start of the 2020-21 season into, you know, late October or early November. So, yeah, could there be a Stanley Cup awarded in July? Maybe. But right now, everything's up in the air.
If they award the Stanley Cup this season, not literally, but is there an asterisk in your mind next to the cup champion?
Well, but it depends what you're, I mean,
based on our, based it, on the
depends,
scenarios
it depends
about
what
now.
You're asking, Drew, because it, does that mean that less teams are going to make the playoffs or it's going to be best of five series? Like,
yeah, that's what based
no,
on, I'm assuming.
I don't think there would be. If you have four rounds and they're best of five instead of best of seven, then the Stanley Cup was awarded and there's no asterisk.
No, I don't think so. Honestly, like I said, going on the presumption that let's say you play a 72 regular season, 72 or 75 game regular season, and you do a shorter version of the playoffs, whatever that looks like, I would have no problem. Again, especially if the Stanley Cup is won between the best team in the East and the best team in the West in seven games, I don't have a problem with
that. Does it have to be a seven game final?
Even then, I don't care. Best of five, you still have to win three games. I mean, to beat a team three times is not easy, especially in a short period of time. So, yeah, I mean, look, if you have to do best of five, I mean, I wouldn't want to see a best of three, but I mean, even then, at best of three, it's still you're beating the team two or three times. So it would be sufficient for my mind. I would just ideally, in an ideal world, still like to see it at seven.
Time will tell. When we come back, Scott Cruickshank of The Athletic joins us from Calgary. Scott told a story on theathletic.com today about his experience getting the COVID-19 test done because he was traveling in recent days regarding the and wasn't feeling very well. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to Scott about the passing of former Flames president Ken King as well. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning, hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290 alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. You can reach us in studio via Twitter. Send your tweets to @IllegalCurve. You can also reach us via text message. Send your text to 129090. And whatever limited sports news there is or hockey news there is, you know that it is available. Of course, on illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From theathletic.com in Calgary, Alberta, we're pleased to welcome to the program Scott Cruickshank. Scott, good morning and thanks for joining us.
No problem.
We were going to have you on to talk about the Jets and the Flames and a key Western Conference playoff race for tonight, but clearly that's not going to happen. So let's start with, obviously, I mean, COVID is going to be an element of this conversation, but what's it like right now in Calgary? What's it like? You know, we know what it's like here in Winnipeg, but we're always curious about what, you know, the atmosphere like is like on the ground in other cities in Canada right now.
Well, if you're talking about, and this is seems to be a widespread thing. The grocery stores are packed, of course. People doomsdaying away, grabbing all the canned goods and toilet paper, of course. So there's that vibe, and I think there's kind of a sense of, it's the unknowing that is kind of weighing on everyone, and someone will text you or phone you, or you'll see them kind of around, and they'll say, have you heard the latest? And you have no idea what that could be, like no idea at all. So there's a real sense of not doom necessarily, but just the unknowing is kind of, it's quite unsettling, to be honest with you.
And now, Scott, you were most recently on the road for the Calgary Flames, February 23rd to March 1st, and you came back with, you know, not feeling great. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, home on March 2nd, I think that was the Monday, and felt not too bad, and then had a bit of a cold, picking up momentum, and by the Saturday night, which would have been a week ago, I was went to a Calgary Hitmen game with kind of some family members and started really hacking. And then the following morning, heard on the news that one of the presumptive cases in Alberta was a male, roughly my age, I think, and who had just been to Michigan, which is, of course, where the Flames started their road trip. And that kind of kicked off a bit of, not panic, close to it for me.
But you were tested for COVID recently, so if you can, you know, walk our audience through what your experience was like and how I guess you're feeling today, because obviously you're feeling okay enough to join us, so I presume that means it's good news.
Yeah, well, the I guess I did write about it, and it I was talking with my editor, and I mentioned that it kind of seemed like almost an advertisement for the high quality of Canadian healthcare, to be honest with you. I phoned at noon on Sunday to the healthcare line, HealthLink line, and was on hold for half an hour and got the nurse, and he immediately started apologizing for the wait. And it was like I said, only 30 minutes. I was braced for much longer. We went through what had happened, and he seemed, I think they have a lot of people phoning in with a cough or a cold or not feeling great. So I kind of went through that stage. But when I added the extensive travel I'd been through, like it was 5 cities in 10 days and all those airports and airplanes, that got his attention, and we went through it, and he decided that I better get tested. And so from the time I got off the phone till someone phoned me with a testing appointment was only a couple hours, and then the appointment was only a couple hours after that. And that happened on Sunday around 5 or 6, let's say, and by Tuesday afternoon, I had the result, which was negative, of course. So kind of like about from when I phoned them to when I got the result, it was about 50 hours, which is, in my mind, at least pretty impressive, and probably not what's happening right now, to be honest with you. But that's what happened with me, and I'm feeling fine, by the way.
Scott, we obviously don't have any future hockey to talk about, including the Jets and Flames game that was supposed to take place today, unfortunately. But, you know, the Flames lost their last game against the Vegas Golden Knights. But prior to that, they won three games in a row over Florida, Columbus, and Arizona. And for the time being, as it stands now, they would actually make the playoffs. And obviously, we're not going to ask you, you know, about that specifically and when you think the season's going to resume, because there's just so many unknowns right now. But, you know, if the season is able to resume, whether that's in April or May, what do you think a realistic playoff format would look like?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And I did see that if they were to take the standings as is and go by, you know, percentages as opposed to straight up points, that the Flames would squeak in and the Jets would be squeaked out, I guess. And the Flames would meet St. Louis in the first round. But I don't know. I've heard all sorts of things, like they'd have to go to best of fives just to kind of hurry this thing along. And I've also heard, you know, that the coronavirus, it's not going to peak in North America till well into July. And at that point, I don't know when you can be playing these hockey games or what's going on. So it's very unknowable, and it's kind of almost impossible to guess. But I will say, you mentioned the Flames had a little run there and then they lost. And what had been kind of building in the city a little bit was a goaltending controversy between, you know, should they play Riddick or should they go with Talbot, who's been the backup? And it's amazing how that's not even worth mentioning anymore, to be honest with you. It's such a small thing, and yet it had been picking up momentum and was going to be kind of a pretty big talking point, and it's of course, nothing now.
You know, Scott, in 2004 in Calgary at the Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, I was sitting there with a bunch of friends, and Ken King came out, and he actually thanked everybody. We had rush seating, so he thanked everybody for being there, and he talked to, you know, a group of fans that were in the stands. It seemed like a pretty amazing, nice move from the Flames president and CEO. He obviously was announced. He lost his life on Thursday. Just what did he mean for sports in Calgary and obviously the Flames specifically?
Yeah, well, I will say he was big physically, but also he's a big dude and also a big personality, a really big personality. Like he was, he'd come down the hall and if at the Saddle Dome, if we were waiting for, you know, players or the coach, and he'd be, you know, slapping backs, punching shoulders, crushing hands with like the hardest handshake you've ever felt. And he was, like I said, a big personality in there, and you could tell that getting a new rink in place or started at least was his goal. And it started, I know it's hard to believe, but I think it started in 06, his first mention, because it was actually Ralph Klein was quoted about the Flames not needing a new rink, and this was back in 06. So it's been a project of his, and I think in a lot of people's minds it was awesome that the rink deal got closed and he was around to see it get closed.
Scott Cruickshank is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Scott covers the Calgary Flames for TheAthletic.com. Scott, you know, article coming out in the Calgary Herald a few hours ago that the Flames part-time employees won't be paid for the canceled shifts here in Winnipeg. That has, at least as of Thursday, was the plan for True North as well, that they won't be paying people that aren't working their shifts. The quote from Mark Chipman being, you know, they work when we work, which isn't obviously a great quote, I think, to have attributed to yourself. What are your thoughts? What's the mood in Calgary about the decision from Flames ownership to not pay these hourly employees who oftentimes are, you know, desperate in need of these shifts?
Yeah, I guess you can kind of tread into some dangerous territory where you start happily spending other people's money.
Yeah.
And decide that the owners should shell out in this. But I'll be honest with you, I know the, as everyone's kind of terming these people now, the hourly employees, I know them much more and I'm exposed to them much more than I am the owners. So, you know, they're the security guys you see and security women you see every single day. And, you know, we've seen what Mark Cuban did in Dallas, where it looks like he's going to fork out and make sure this happens, like his hourly workers get paid, whether there's Mavericks games or not. I don't know, especially here where the city has just decided to, you know, chip in however million, hundreds of millions of dollars to help the Flames get a new rink, and then suddenly now the team's not going to you know, pay these hourly employees as they go forward. It's not a great look. And like I said, I'm hesitant to kind of start spending other people's money for them. But I really, really feel for the hourly, you know, employees. I know people have talked about, well, are the players going to get paid or what's going to happen with the players? Personally, I don't really care. They've got lots. But it's these other people that I worry about for sure.
Now, Scott, when you look at this season as a whole, there are some similarities between the Flames and the Jets with the injuries and all these unforeseen circumstances, right? You talk about Juuso Välimäki, who's obviously a top D prospect for the Flames. He hasn't played at all this year. He was injured prior to the season. And you talk about TJ Brody missing time. Obviously, Bill Peters, you know, he parts ways with the Calgary Flames after, you know, the incident involving Akeem Alou comes out. Jeff Ward takes over. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, the easiest year for the Flames organization. How would you sum up this year in terms of, you know, where this Flames organization is heading? Because obviously, you know, they would make the playoffs if the playoffs started today. But I think you'd agree it's been a very up and down, difficult year.
Yeah, up and down and difficult. And that's not even touching what's happened on the ice. Like when Välimäki, who they admitted the other day that he probably would have been in their top four this year. Like, that's how good this kid is. When he blew his knee and was going to be gone for the season, that seemed like probably the worst news you could imagine. It seemed like that. And then you mentioned TJ Brody. I was in the stands that day during practice, and I thought we were watching him die on the ice. I'm not kidding you. And then they get through that, and there's the Bill Peters scandal, which was, you know, everyone knows what that was like. And then barely a month later, we find out Chris Snow has ALS, the assistant general manager. So it's been kind of unbelievable, even off the ice, for these guys. And I know when Treleving was asked about it just the other day, what his team's gone through, he said it's been interesting. And then he went on to say that they talk about adversity and building skin. And he said, at this point, we've built enough skin. Thank you. So that's it's been a season like no other before the past week. So add on what's happened the past week with the death of Ken King, and of course, over top of everything, the coronavirus, it's been unbelievable.
Well, Scott, we're contractually obligated to ask about any Manitoba-based players, being a Manitoba-based show, so we got to ask you about St. Malo, Manitoba's Travis Hamonic. I believe he's injured right now, but you know, he'll be a UFA at the end of the season. He's been in Calgary now for three seasons after leaving Long Island. Do you see that fit continuing after this year?
Yeah, you mentioned him. He was actually one of the interesting hockey stories in the last week, because it looked like he was super close to returning. And possibly even Thursday night against the Islanders, his old team, that looked like when he might come back. And, of course, now he's in a holding pattern like everyone else. But I don't know. I think they like him. They spent a lot to get him in terms of draft picks. Mm-hmm. And he's one of these character guys, one of these shot blockers, one of these gritty guys. And in a lot of ways, I know people have said the Flames don't have enough of guys like him. But in terms of him staying, and I think that's kind of what you're asking, I guess that all depends. If it's a guy that's looking to, he turns 30, he's about to turn 30, if he's looking for 6 years or something like that, then it's, you know, you're getting into these, it feels funny to even be talking about that right now, but it feels funny to be even discussing kind of contract stuff. But I understand the interest, of course. But I don't know. I guess that's the negotiating part. They've also got TJ Brody, who becomes unrestricted as well. And he's also turning 30. So that's, I would suggest they keep one and not the other, if that's enough of a fence-sitter answer for you.
We'll let it slide this time. Scott Cruickshank covers the Calgary Flames for TheAthletic.com. Scott, glad to hear that you're feeling well and that you're healthy. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Take care, Scott. When we come back, we discuss True North's response to the COVID-19 outbreak and much more to come regarding the impact on the world of hockey and the world of sports. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
20 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to clients satisfaction for all your real estate needs. Come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Quick update, the mayor of the city of Winnipeg, Brian Bowman, is giving a press conference, or he gave a press conference, and I'm reading these tweets courtesy of chrisd.ca. This is the mayor saying, remain calm. There is no need to engage in panic purchasing. You don't need that much toilet paper. You don't need to rush out and purchase items in the way we are seeing in some retail stores. So I think that's some very good advice.
Shortly thereafter, the mayor was seen taking a selfie with a roll of toilet paper.
Dave, very snarky there of you. Mayor Bowman also says that as of Monday, so that is 2 days from now, all city-owned recreation centers, libraries, and swimming pools will be closed.
My daughter's not going to be happy about that.
Your daughter will probably be upset about that. Exactly. My kids were saying, let's go to the library as
well. If you need a gym, go to Snap Fitness.
And there you go.
Specifically River Heights.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Thanks for plugging that one. You want to give the address, or are you good?
It's on Taylor.
Okay, thank you. There you go, Dave Minuk. He's his company man sometimes as well. Anyways, that's the update coming from the mayor of Winnipeg. If there's anything else... newsworthy, we will of course bring it to you here live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and on TSN Radio 1290. We asked Scott Cruickshank about the decision from the Calgary Flames to not pay their part-time employees. He expressed concern for the security guards and a lot of the part-time employees that he has contact with at the arena. We have contact with very similar people at Bell MTS Place. And on Thursday, Jets owner Mark Chipman was asked about that same question, and his response was, these people work when we work, more or less. I'm paraphrasing to some degree, but it was what I'm going to describe as a glib response. And I hope that in hindsight, Mr. Chipman, regrets the tone of that comment comes out in, because I think it's a little, it's rude. I would think it's probably a little bit disrespectful. And given what we've seen from other owners in the sports world, I wonder if True North might change their tune on this, on their response to that question.
Right, and obviously Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban is one that came
to
mind.
He started it off on
Wednesday. I think he was the first one, right? And,
yeah.
And since then, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and then you obviously have had, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky has agreed to put, I think it was $100,000, you know, towards covering, you know, wages.
Kevin Love of the Cleveland Cavaliers did something similar.
Right. And
Giannis.
I can never pronounce his last name.
Right.
Zion Williamson of the New Orleans Pelicans. Yes.
So there have been many players and many owners that have said that we are going to cover wages, basically paying these part-time employees as if these games and events were still taking place. So obviously, I mean, It's a very tough time, but my comment on that would be that these part-time employees obviously depend on this income a lot more than owners and players and general managers and so on. So I think they deserve to be paid. So that includes, you know, employees of True North. I think it's pretty simple.
And I thought Scott Cruickshank made a good point that it's easy for us to spend other people's money, but the optics of it. And the optics, when you really think about it, given the amount of government funding that, you know, the Flames organization, that True North certainly gets, makes it look doubly awful. Makes it look really ivory tower in the response. And I think it was a regrettable clip, because it's the kind of clip that has legs and it has life to it. And I think that is, and I think that's really unfortunate. And I think the response is really unfortunate. If I'm government and government's being asked to do things and go beyond, you know, to help the public, and it's going to cost money. We know it's going to cost money. I think that this, if some of the corporate world is not responding in kind when they get government money, I'm really having to rethink what they deserve. Because I mean, let me put it on record. I don't believe that True North or any owner of any professional sports team should get government money to begin with. That just doesn't make any sense to me. They're already multimillionaires. It's corporate welfare. It's not necessary. These are the people who need it the most. And if I'm government and I'm handing out money to these corporations, I would expect these corporations to do something to help their people in times of crisis, which is where we are right now.
Yeah, no, Drew, I agree with you 100%. And doesn't it just come down to it's the right thing to do?
Absolutely.
Like this is the list of teams just in the NHL. And this is in Paul Friesen's article. San Jose Sharks.
These are the teams that are doing something?
Yes.
Okay.
Detroit Red Wings, Anaheim Ducks, Washington Capitals, Nashville Predators, New Jersey Devils, Dallas Stars. That's not to mention Bobrovsky in Florida, right? So I believe other
and
players.
The Panthers are, I think, also.
I think, yeah, Panthers, some members of the ownership or executive are contributing, right? So for
Tampa
me.
Tampa Bay also is on that list.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking about what here? 10 to 12 teams. So almost half the NHL is going to be covering their part-time employees' salaries. So for me, it's just the right thing to do. And yes, I'm not in that position, but that's what it is because, you know, part-time employees of True North, I mean, their bills will not go away. You don't have postponement of bills. So if you don't have money coming in, that means that you don't have money to pay your bills.
Feed your kids, whatever it might be. And here's the list of the, this is from Russian Machine Never Breaks, which is, I believe, a Washington Capitals blog.
Yep.
Here's the list of teams who are not doing anything as of when this post was published late last night, 10:15 p.m. last night. This is the quote-unquote naughty list. The Arizona Coyotes, the Boston Bruins, the Buffalo Sabres, the Calgary Flames, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Colorado Avalanche, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Edmonton Oilers, the Los Angeles Kings, the Minnesota Wild, the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Islanders, the New York Rangers, the Ottawa Senators, St. Louis Blues, the Vancouver Canucks, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Winnipeg Jets.
No.
You have every Western Canadian NHL team on that list. That's not a very good list to be on.
The only thing I would say is that until you actually have a home game that has actually affected the people who are, you know, going to be these part-time employees who are not going to get paid, it mitigates it slightly, right? Because they haven't missed anything yet. So what I'm saying is if the Jets say...
The Jets haven't missed it. You're right.
I'm suggesting that if by...
From a Winnipeg-specific perspective.
Yeah, I'm looking at it from a Winnipeg perspective because that's what we focus on
generally. There were four home games left, right?
There's four home games left in the season, but...
There were events this weekend. Disney on ice, Moose games,
of
things
of
that
nature.
The
Moose are on the road.
But Disney
as well.
On ice was scheduled for this weekend.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but fine, Disney on ice. But I'm talking about more from a hockey point of view.
Yeah,
and but I was going to say, so until you know, you really kind of want to give these. Like, they're allowed to. I think the problem was the wording. 100% agree with you. I think the response. I just think like had you simply responded to the question, and I don't understand how the prep wasn't there, to be honest with you, because in light of the fact that Mark Cuban had spoken the day before.
How do you not have a prepared, better, canned answer to this question?
Yeah, you'd think so. So, and that's fine, but I just think, like, to me, the answer isn't, like, again, you know, Scott had it right. We don't know. We're not in that position. But you just say something to the effect of, look, you know, for the next little bit, we're taking care of our employees. That's not something that can last indefinitely.
And that's what it comes down to.
That's the one thing people have to realize. Okay. Yep. As a business, sure, they're subsidized. But at the end of the day, you know, this isn't something that they could afford to do for the next 6 weeks or 6 months is pay people when there's no money coming in. Okay. But in the short term, you can absolutely, I mean, the reality is the interest alone on what they're saving on Dustin Byfuglien's contract could likely have paid for this. So the reality is in the short term, you could have done something and you could have said, you know, we're reviewing our position on this. That would have been the better answer, I think, to Paul's question.
Absolutely. Paul Friesen, the one who asked the question on
Thursday. You would have said, we're reviewing our policy and we're coming up with a plan. That should have been the response. And again, there's no obligation. There's no gun to his head that says you absolutely have to do this. And again, public response has been pretty
one-sided
again. I mean, not necessarily, but it's you know, it seems like this is, you know, a pretty big issue right now. This is, of course, there's not anything else to talk about. So it's what people are focused on. But again, I just think it should have been, we're reviewing the policy and we're going to come up with a plan. Because I wouldn't have had a problem with that. If an organization doesn't want to have a knee-jerk, I mean, you'd think the default should be, to Ezzie's point, the right thing to do is to take care of people. And then you can figure out what you don't have to do it indefinitely. It's not a welfare situation where you're sitting there going, these people have to be with us.
They had four Winnipeg Jets home games left.
And six Moose games.
Right. So figure something out for that short time period.
Basically till the beginning of April. That gives people the opportunity, look, if hockey's not coming back, you're taken care of for a month. And then you have an opportunity to go and find employment elsewhere, you know, temporarily until we get back on track.
The response, the answer is, the clip is not a good one. And it's unfortunate, and the decision was unfortunate, and hopefully they'll reconsider. But, not a shining moment for True North on Thursday afternoon. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Tom Lynn. Tom Lynn is a player agent with Veritas Hockey. We'll talk to Tom about the perspective of the shutdown from a player agent's perspective. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the curve on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.